All right, Acts number 4. If you have your Bible, go ahead and get it out. Acts number 4. As I said this morning, thank you so much for those of you that prayed for us and brought things by. That was such a blessing. And Lauren and I are feeling better. I know some of you asked, what were our first symptoms? And the Wednesday morning, I woke up with a little bit of a sore throat. And I went to eat breakfast. And I like to drink juice in the morning. And I had some cranberry grape juice. You know, that kind of, you drink that first drink and you kind of just squint your eyes a little bit. It's a little bit tart. Well, I drank it and it did not make me squint my eyes. I knew immediately there was a problem there. But thankfully, we're feeling much better. I think if there's anything that I'm dealing with is just COVID brain. You've heard that before. Maybe you just forget what you're saying or you forget what you're thinking about. You got a word in your mind and it just can't come out. So if I had that tonight, I'm trusting Brother Jeff over there just to remind me of what it is or to tell me I said something that doesn't make sense. But no, I'm trusting the Lord to help tonight. But you're in Acts 4. If you would stand with me, just out of respect for the Word of God. Acts number 4. We'll speak tonight just for a few minutes on this idea of be an encourager. Be an encourager. Acts 4 and verse number 36, the Bible says, "And Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite and of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet." Here we see a man by the name of Barnabas, which being interpreted is son of consolation, or another way we could say that is son of encouragement. What I'd like to do tonight is just go through the book of Acts and look at all of the different ways that Barnabas was an encouragement to those that God had put in his life. Pray with me tonight and ask the Lord to speak to us. Dear Lord, we love you. Thank you for your goodness and your grace, Lord. I thank you just so much for your blessings. Lord, I thank you for your strength, Lord. I thank you for the goodness of your word. And I thank you, Lord, just for, Lord, the blessings and that people have been to us, Lord, just being an encouragement, Lord. And I pray you'd help all of us, God, to take and make that decision, God, to be an encouragement to those around us. And I pray you'd speak to us through your word. I pray you'd fill me with your spirit, guide my heart, guide my thoughts, Lord. And pray you'd be honored and glorified in it all, I pray, in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. In 1896, Henry Ford attended a company event where Thomas Edison, the great inventor, was the guest of honor. His friend introduced him to Edison as the man trying to make a car that runs on gasoline. Edison asked young Henry Ford a host of questions, and when the talk was over, Edison banged his fist down on the table and said, "Young man, that's the thing, you have it. Your car is self-contained and carries its own power plant." Years later, Henry Ford was reflecting on this meeting, and he said in a newspaper interview that the bang on the table was worth worlds to me. No man up to then had given me any encouragement, and I had hoped that I was heading right. Sometimes I knew that I was. Sometimes I only wondered. But here, all at once, and out of a clear sky, the greatest inventive genius in the world had given me complete approval. The man who knew most about electricity in the world had said for the purpose, my gas motor was better than any electric motor could be. I think of that small act of encouragement by Thomas Edison. That small word of encouragement, how it set Henry Ford on a mark and refreshed his soul to continue upon the path that he was heading down. Think of that word, encouragement. Encouragement is one of the most powerful influencers in the world. It is encouragement that breathes new life into a drained soul. It is encouragement that can set a young man on the path of victory and success. It is encouragement that can help an elder see that their years of love and influence has been worth it all. It is encouragement that is, simply put, can not only be life-saving, but life-changing.
Amen.
Encouragement. I pray and I hope tonight that as we look at the life of Barnabas, that we will see that all of us can be and that all of us need to be an encourager. We're there in Acts number 4, and we'll see the first point tonight is that Barnabas was an encouragement by giving to bless others. This was before Barnabas necessarily had an organized ministry. This was before Barnabas would travel with Paul on those great missionary journeys. And Paul is simply looking to be a blessing and a help to others. We read it in verse number 37. It says that Barnabas, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. Just to give you a little bit of context here in the book of Acts, here in this specific time frame, there's a group of Christians who had been gathering. They were under persecution. Many of them were suffering of a great lack, and they had many needs. And people were coming, and they were gathering, and they were bringing what they had. And Barnabas took it a step further. He sold his land, and he gave that money to be a help and a blessing to those around them. And we look at this great act of faith, we look at this great act of love, and sometimes we look specifically at the action, but I believe that this action speaks more to who Barnabas was than what Barnabas did. And that Barnabas, as a person, was an encourager. You see, being an encourager is more about who you are necessarily than what you do, because encouragers find ways to bless others. Even if it's just with their presence, or if it's with their words, or if it's with their actions. And Barnabas did just that. You see, giving flows out of a heart of love. Giving and being a blessing to somebody else flows out of a heart of care and a heart of desiring to help someone else because you care about them. Barnabas loved giving to others. Find it interesting as you study this chapter, nobody asked Barnabas to give. Nobody forced Barnabas to give. I don't know if there's anybody around there who's like, man, I really wish somebody would just sell their land and give me some money. I don't think it was one of those situations at all. I believe it was that Barnabas saw the need of others and desired to give. Barnabas loved giving to others, but not only that, Barnabas loved giving to God. Barnabas brought his money to the apostle because I believed he was not giving just to bless the poor and the needy, but to give to our Savior. You see, we serve others not just to serve them, but to serve Christ. Turn over to Matthew 25, if you would. Matthew 25. As Barnabas was giving this money and giving this land to help the poor Christians around him, what in fact he was doing was giving to the Lord. Matthew 25 and verse number 31. The passage says, when the Son of Man shall come in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory, and before Him shall be gathered all nations, and He shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats, and He shall set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the King say unto them on His right hand, come ye blessed of My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. And then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the King shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. See, Barnabas sought to be an encouragement and a blessing to those around him. But in reality, Barnabas was being a blessing by serving our Savior. Barnabas, generous and cheerful and servant-hearted spirit, was contagious and uplifting in being a blessing to others. See, Barnabas was an encourager because he was a man who loved God, who was fully surrendered to God, and as a result, he was a man who loved others, so he encouraged them. Have you ever met someone who was just an encouragement? They were just a blessing. Any time that you were around them, they just refreshed your spirit and refreshed your soul. I think of the missions trip we took and we met Brandon there in Mexico. And Brandon was an encourager. Anytime you saw Brandon, he had a smile on his face. Anytime you saw Brandon, he was going and talking to somebody to encourage them and to lift up their spirits. Anytime that you saw Brandon, he was filling a need and trying to be a blessing to somebody else. Why? Because he is an encourager. I wonder, are we an encourager tonight? Do we bless others? Maybe it's not a financial need. Maybe it's just a need of somebody going and caring for somebody else. Maybe it's just taking the time to pray for somebody. Maybe it's taking the time after an evening service to put your arm around somebody and to ask them how their week has been and to talk to them a little bit. That's what an encourager does. They see the needs of others and seek to be a blessing. First of all, Barnabas was an encouragement by blessing others. But not only that, turn over to Acts chapter 9. I want to encourage you, just let you know, we're going to be turning to a lot of different passages in the book of Acts. So if you want to have your Bible ready, Acts 9 and verse number 26. You see, Barnabas blessed others, but not only that, but Barnabas commended and encouraged Paul in the beginning of his ministry. Acts 9 and verse 26, the Bible says, "And when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple." You see, we hear in the book of Acts and here the Apostle Paul, before he becomes the Apostle Paul, has been a persecutor of the church, had imprisoned Christians, had put many to death, and he had just received Christ on the Damascus Road. And here he's coming to the church, he's coming to meet with the Christians, and they're all afraid of him. Verse 27, "But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way and that he had spoken to them and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. And he was with them coming in and going out to Jerusalem, and he spake boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus and disputed against the Grecians. But they went about to slay him, which when the brethren knew, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him forth to Tarsus. Then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified and walking in the fear of the Lord, and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost were multiplied." We know of the great ministry of Paul. We know of the many things that Paul did to bless and encourage and help the church. But really what it started off and where it kicked off as far as his ministry with the fellow believers was when Barnabas encouraged him before the church. There's a story of a young boy who worked in a factory. He had an intense desire to be a singer. When he turned 10 years old, he took his first voice lesson, which procured less than an encouraging remark from his teacher. In fact, his teacher said these words, "You can't sing. You haven't any voice at all. Your voice sounds like a wind in the shutters." What a nice thing for a teacher to say, right? His mother, however, believed that he could learn to sing. She was very poor, but she hugged him and said, "My boy, I'm going to give you and make every sacrifice to pay for your voice lessons." Here was a mother who believed and encouraged her son to take those first steps into following after his dreams. You know, her encouragement and sacrifice for her son proved to be invaluable because he became known as one of the greatest opera singers in the world, Enrico Caruso. You know, what made the difference for this young boy? It wasn't the teacher who criticized him. It wasn't the teacher who said, "You don't have any hope in the world to be a singer." It was his mother who believed in him and encouraged him at the very, very beginning. And I think of the Apostle Paul getting started in his ministry, just receiving Christ, and he's out there and he's preaching the gospel and he's wanting to go and meet with these Christians. And here's Barnabas. When they're all afraid, he takes Paul maybe by the arm, maybe he puts his arm around him and he walks him up to the Christians and says, "Here's a man who is preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ boldly, and people are coming to believe in Christ because of what Paul is doing." Barnabas encouraged Paul. You know what happens with us in a new believer or a young Christian too often? Sometimes we're critical. Sometimes we look at them and we have these expectations that maybe they need to look like a Christian who's been saved for 50 years. Maybe they need to make all of the right decisions and the correct decisions right away. And sometimes we over-criticize a young or new Christian instead of encouraging them to follow after Christ. Barnabas was an encourager. Do we encourage young Christians? Do we encourage new believers? No, do we encourage each other? Or are we too critical? You see, Barnabas believed in Paul despite his past and despite other people's opinions. Of course, Barnabas knew that Paul was a persecutor of the church. Of course, Barnabas knew what Paul had done already in the past. Of course, Barnabas knew maybe the testimony of Paul. But Barnabas encouraged him. Be an encourager. Barnabas, first of all, in Acts 4, was a blessing to others. Then he commended and encouraged Paul. And if you'll turn over to Acts 11, just a few chapters over, Acts 11. Here we will see that Barnabas won others to Jesus Christ and encouraged the church to cleave closely to Christ. Acts 11 in verse number 21. The Bible says, "And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Then the tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church which is in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas, that he should go as far as Antioch. Who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people, and the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch." Here is Barnabas, and you see his ministry is that because of what he had been doing in serving the Lord, many people were added to the church and added to faith in Jesus Christ. We see that when he came to that place in that city, he encouraged them to cleave unto the Lord. I believe possibly one of the greatest encouragements to any local church, and especially to our church, is people being saved and drawn closer to God. Can't tell you how encouraging it is to know that there are new Christians in our church. How encouraging it is to hear of kids and teenagers and adults being saved. What a blessing it is to see somebody who before had not lived for God, who before had not cared about God, not only to gain eternal life, but to gather with us and serve the same God as a new believer. And that should stir inside of us. It should thrill our souls. See, new Christians bring new life and new energy, not just into the building, but to each of us. Yeah, I think of, you know, just some of the people in our church, and it thrills my soul when a visitor comes with the Heist family. It makes me excited when I see a young couple come and visit from one of the East Jackson schools as a result of some of our teachers. You know, it thrills my heart to see some teenagers come with their friends to youth group because our teenagers are inviting them. And what a blessing it has been over the last year to see new Christians come to Christ. That's an encouragement. And it's encouraging when all of us are doing our part to bring new Christians, new people to Jesus Christ. It's encouragement and a blessing. We see Barnabas encouraged people by bringing new believers to, or new people to Christ. Not only that, but he pushed others to be closer to God in two ways, by word and by example. I think of that phrase, it says that he exhorted them all, encouraged them all, that with purpose of heart, they would cleave unto the Lord. It's a blessing when we have testimony nights. We get to hear kids or teenagers or adults encourage us to follow after Christ. It's a blessing and encouragement when some of you have, you know, come up to me and you've encouraged me and by telling me to stick to this up, by follow after the Lord, by telling me to stay close to God. I think something that's encouraged and helped me has been our men's Bible study at 8 a.m. on Saturday mornings, because I get to be sharpened and encouraged by men in our church who encourage us to be closer to Christ. Barnabas was encouragement because he did two things. He won people to Jesus and he encouraged others to be close to Christ. Didn't just stop there, but if you turn over one chapter to Acts 12 and verse 25, we see that Barnabas invested in the next generation. Verse 25 in chapter 12, it says, "And Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had fulfilled their ministry and took with them John, whose surname was Mark. Yeah, you know, I love reading in the book of Acts and seeing people like John Mark and seeing people like Timothy and Titus being taken with Barnabas and being taken with Paul and seeing these older men in the faith pour into the young believers or the young ministers, the young people. It's great to see them invest in the next generation. I tell you, I still remember the names of people who invested in me as a teenager. I'm looking at some of the names I had written down and probably wrote down about 10 names. So these are men that I will always remember and that will always mean the world to me because as a young person, they took of their time, they took of their wisdom, and they poured themselves into me and invested in me. And here we see in verse 25, Barnabas making that same difference by investing in these young people, by pouring into them, by giving John Mark an opportunity to serve the Lord and by encouraging him on his way to serve Christ. You know, as the youth pastor, it's my job to encourage the teenagers. It's your God-given responsibility to encourage them as well. We have our kids and our teenagers. It's great to see all those kids run to junior church on Sunday mornings. No, it's a blessing when I see some of you encourage them. So you sit there and talk to them, maybe give them a piece of candy or something like that. It's great when you invest in our teenagers. It's great when you just take some time to be a blessing to them. Some of these names I have written down, some of them did different things for me. I remember one had me mow their lawn, and after I mowed their lawn, he gave me a different job. And I remember he would often take time for me to have me in his office and just to impart unto me some wisdom about different things. So Arthur, just come over here for a few minutes and let me talk to you. You know, a man on here I wrote, his name is Brother Chuck. My Brother Chuck, he would be a blessing to me. He would have me over to his house, he'd give me meals, and he would just seek to pour himself into me. He said, you know what I read about this week? You know what God is working in my life about this week? Some of these men I wrote down, they're pastors, but others were just faithful men in the church who followed after God and sought to just take a few minutes to encourage me, to invest in me. One of the ways that we can be an encourager, one of the ways that we could be a blessing and build up rather than tear down is to invest in the next generation. Oftentimes in churches there's a huge gap. And the teenagers are over here and the adults are over here and never shall they meet. I'm thankful that's not how our church is. We're not just in services. Do you seek to invest in those younger than you? Barnabas invested in the next generation, but not only that, but Barnabas simply served God. Turn over to Acts 13. Oh, we're already right there. Acts 13 and verse number 1. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers as Barnabas and Simeon that is called Niger and Lucius of Cyrene and Manaen which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul as they ministered to the Lord and fasted. The Holy Ghost said, separate me Barnabas and Saul for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they being sent forth by the Holy Ghost departed unto Lucia and from thence sailed to Cyprus. Really what we see all throughout the book of Acts is we see Barnabas, very, very simply put, serving our Savior. He was preaching the Word of God. He was going and he was encouraging people and giving out the gospel, telling people to trust in Christ. He was investing in the next generation. He was preaching the gospel in some hostile environments. He was going and encouraging the church and building up the church and preaching to the church. Barnabas was simply serving God all throughout the book of Acts. See, Barnabas was not a perfect man. Barnabas wasn't necessarily designated as a disciple or an apostle. Barnabas was simply a man serving Jesus who touched the lives of many by doing his part in serving God. Sometimes the greatest way that any of you can encourage each other is by simply serving Christ. It was a faithful Sunday school teacher who visited D.L. Moody and led him to Christ. He was a faithful man in the church who encouraged D.L. Moody to be at church, to give into the gospel, and to serve the Lord. D.L. Moody went on to become a great evangelist, sparking revivals, and leading thousands to Christ. It was a faithful man in a church who preached in place of a pastor on a snowy winter day when a young Charles Spurgeon walked in wanting to know how to be saved. That man preached a simple message of look to Christ. Simply just seeking to be a blessing. Simply just serving the Lord. Filling in where he could. And Charles Spurgeon that night was led to Christ. See, it's not about status or a name for Barnabas. It wasn't about Barnabas having this great position. It was simply about serving Jesus Christ wherever he could. Barnabas touched the lives of hundreds, if not more, by simply serving God. Barnabas encouraged those around him, whether it was the Apostle Paul, whether it was the church, or whether it was those who had just recently come to Christ by serving his Savior. And I just want to encourage you to continue to encourage each other by faithfully serving Christ. Just keep serving Jesus. It's encouraging. It's uplifting. What a blessing it was to read all of those names of those who had served and helped for Vacation Bible School. How much of a blessing it is to get those recommendations and to see all the names of people in our church serving Jesus Christ. Because that's what it's about. It's about serving the Lord. Lastly tonight, turn over to Acts 15. Acts 15. Barnabas, lastly, was an encouragement by restoring and encouraging a previously fallen John Mark. Acts 15 and verse number 37. The Bible says, "And Barnabas was determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. But Paul thought not good to take him with them, who had departed from them from Pamphylia, and went not with them to the work. And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from another. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed unto Cyprus." Barnabas was an encouragement. Because even though John Mark had failed, even though John Mark had departed from Paul and Barnabas before, the Bible says, I believe, having loved this present world, when John Mark got right with God and came back, Barnabas encouraged him and restored him. And he took him with him for the sake of the ministry. One of the greatest things we can do to be an encouragement is that when someone has fallen away from Christ, when someone has made maybe some bad decisions, when someone has chosen to reject Christ or to love something greater than the Lord, and maybe they're not with us following after God and being here in church, and we look at them sometimes and our hearts are broken, one of the greatest things that we can do is that when they desire to get right with God, that we can encourage them, restore them, and accept them. You see, the idea of restoring and encouraging a fallen brother or sister in Christ is not to excuse their sin, but sometimes it's even to rebuke it. It's not to cover up failure, but to address it for the sake of moving past it. Amen. And once the sin has been confessed and forsaken, that is the perfect time to encourage our fellow Christian to get back to Christ. Amen. And to get back to serving our Savior. Even though John Mark had failed, Barnabas saw the best in him. Even though John Mark had walked away before, Barnabas gave him a second chance. Why? Because Barnabas was an encourager. Are we encouragers? Do we encourage one another? Do we come to church on a Sunday night, or we come to church on a Wednesday or a Sunday morning? Do we take the time to encourage somebody else? It's not about the action per se, but it's about whether or not that's who we are as a Christian. Because an encourager will always find a way to be a blessing to somebody else. Barnabas was an encourager. We saw it tonight. First, he gave to bless others. Barnabas commended and encouraged Paul in the beginning of his ministry. Barnabas won others to Jesus Christ and encouraged the church to be closer to God. Barnabas invested in the next generation. Barnabas served the Lord faithfully. And Barnabas restored and encouraged a fallen brother in Christ. A young boy on an errand for his mother had just bought a dozen eggs. Walking out of the store, he tripped and dropped the sack, and all the eggs broke, and the sidewalk was a mess. The young boy tried not to cry. A few people even gathered to see if he was okay and to tell him how sorry they were. In the midst of pity, one man handed the boy a quarter. Then he turned to the group and said, "I care 25 cents worth. How much do the rest of you care?" Now, I believe that we can say we care about one another. We can say that we love our church. But do we take another step to be an encouragement? Now, how much do we care to encourage one another? When someone's going through a difficult time, when someone's going through a good time, when someone's on fire for God, or when someone is far away from God, do we care enough to give some encouragement in some way? A man once said, "Flatter me and I may not believe you. Criticize me and I may not like you. Ignore me and I may not forgive you." He said, "Encourage me and I will not forget you." Barnabas was an encourager. It's all over the book of Acts. He made a profound difference in the first church, not by having some big name, not by having a title, not by writing books of the Bible, but by simply being an encourager. So my question tonight, are we encouragers? I know many of you are because you've encouraged me. And how is the Lord going to lead you to be an encouragement to someone else? Every head bowed and every eye closed as we...